this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we, who have known the mystery of that light on earth, may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God in glory everlasting. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and his name, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Psalm 96, read responsibly by Halfers. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the Lord.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name.
Proclaim the good news of salvation. Day.
Declare his glory among the nations,
and his wonders among all peoples.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
He is worthy to be feared in all gods.
As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols.
But it is the Lord who made the heavens.
O the majesty and magnificence of his presence.
O the power and splendor of his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples.
Ascribe to the Lord honor and power.
Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name.
Bring offerings unto his courts.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Let the whole earth tremble before him.
Tell it out among the nations, the Lord is king.
It is a world so firm that they cannot believe it. He will judge the peoples equitably.
Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea thunder, and all that is in it.
Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein.
Then shall all the trees of the wood shout for joy before the Lord when he comes.
When he comes, judge the earth.
He will judge the world with righteousness,
and the peoples with his truth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
a reading from the Epistle of Paul to Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
That all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you great news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Lord, it's Christmas, and you're present with us. And we celebrate you today. We celebrate also the fact that it's not just you being here, it's you being in us. So Lord, this evening, help us to realize without a shadow of a doubt that you may have been incarnated into this world, but if we allow you to, you'll be incarnated in us. And when that happens, Lord, the adventure begins. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You know, it's interesting because, I mean, I've been doing a lot of thinking about this service tonight, not just because it's Christmas, but this is, for some of you know it, I mean, it's the last Christmas I'll be the rector here. I mean, I've got to retire. You know, it's funny because people say, "How are you doing?" usually. And when they say that to me, "How are you doing?" I usually, my response is, "Well, you know, I had two goals in life. Never grow up and never have a real job. And I've done it." But nonetheless, I'm here tonight to talk about Christmas. To talk about the presence of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. And it's quite interesting. You know, I studied a lot of this over the years and preached on it from many different ways. But it's, for me, this Sunday, this coming, this day has been interesting to look at. Did you ever think about the story of Jesus? I mean, really think about it. I mean, here you have, you know, a virgin, Mary, who gets pregnant, okay? And you have Joseph, who's an older man, probably about 30, and she's probably about 14 years old. You know, and he doesn't know what's up, and he finds out she's pregnant, and, you know, he knows he didn't do it. And, you know, where do you go from there? But then all of a sudden the angels come and talk to him in all 9 yards. But then all of a sudden, think about the difficulties that this birth is all about. Now I want you to step back, because the scripture is limited in what it tells us. Wouldn't you say? I mean, think about it. Nazareth is up in the north. It's about 100 miles from Bethlehem. And Mary is pregnant. She's betrothed to Joseph. Joseph is going to take her because they're engaged. And he's got to take her down to Bethlehem to register because Quirinius is governor of Syria and they want an accounting. They want the census. It's the first census. Think about that truth. I mean, think about it. The things that could have gone wrong. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, sooner or later you find out that Herod the king down in Judea wants to kill the Messiah and he's trying to find out for Jesus. I'm not talking about the stuff that's laid out. Think about some of the other things. I mean, on the way, a 100-mile trip, that doesn't happen, you know, in a couple of hours. It takes quite a few days, if not weeks, okay? They're going to encounter bandits. But then I started to look at the scripture. I mean, think about it. Mary is at least in her second trimester. Do you know how many rest areas they have to stop at on the way down there? I mean, it's incredible what they're going to have to go through. I mean, I've never been pregnant. Have you been pregnant? Some of you have. I mean, think about it. It's not comfortable. Riding on a donkey? I mean, it's got leather interior, I guess. But, you know, you're riding on a donkey to come all the way down. You get all the way down there, and what happens? You get to Bethlehem. It's supposed to be the hometown of Joseph. You know, his relatives must not like him too much. He can't even get a hotel room in the inn. And none of his relatives are stepping up to the plate. And so they have to go into a stable. And it comes time for the birth. And what happens at the birth? It's interesting. You know, in the story of the birth of Moses, you got all these midwives. There's no mention of any midwives about Mary, is there? I mean, think of it. She gets a couple of shepherds. She gets Joseph. That's a lot of testosterone in that room. And here they are. They got to deliver this baby. They get the baby, and the baby is born, and the baby is Jesus. And they put him in a manger. Do you have any idea what a manger is? It's a trough. I did some research on that. You can get E. coli and get ringworm, and that's some of the simpler stuff that you can get in a trough. Think about the difficulties of what's gone on. And yet in the midst of it all, somehow God preserves the life of his son, Jesus Christ. The mortality rate in those days was between 75% and 83%. And yet, grace has appeared, as the book of Titus says. It's that grace that I really want you to concentrate on this evening. Undeserved merit, that's what grace is. And it's grace that's not just given to Jesus so that he can be born. It's grace that's given to you as an individual. Do you realize how much grace you've had available to you all your life? It's always been there. But how many of you access it, really? I mean, let's be honest with you. I mean, when do you pray? When you have a problem, do you pray first, or do you wait till you expend all the things that you know you can't do to straighten it out and then pray? You see, God's grace is compensatory. It's there for you so that you can know that he loves you. He's with you. He promises you. One thing he promises very clear. Lo, I'll be with you at the end of the age. I'm not going to ever leave you. I'm always going to be there for you. But I wonder how many of us really take that seriously in everyday life. I said last Sunday, you know, most of it take it pretty seriously when it comes to, you know, death, because it's the best option, eternal life. But how many of us take it in regular day-in, day-out things? How many of us turn to God in the little things of life? I mean, whereby we're frustrated with our spouse, or we're having a difficult time, you know, with our child, or we're figuring out, how do I make these finances work? Or in this day and age, health issues that come on. How many of us really turn to God in that fullest sense of saying, not so much fix it for me, God, but God, show me the way through it. You know, Jesus didn't just sort of get born and then, you know, not have any problems. I mean, as soon as he's born, what happens? I mean, then all of a sudden Herod the king does want to kill him, and they got to flee off to Egypt. I mean, think about it. Joseph couldn't get a room in the inn in Bethlehem, his own hometown. Where did he get the money to get to Egypt? Oh, wait a second. The wise men showed up. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. My goodness, God. It just shut up. It was because they trusted. They trusted that God, a power greater than them, was personal with them. That God was going to be there. They didn't have to just rely on their own strength and expend that out and just say, I don't know where to go from here. They could really just trust in it, that God was with them. The baby Jesus wasn't taking care of them. They were taking care of the baby Jesus. You see, it's the incarnation. It's where God actually comes to this earth. I love what Emil Brunner, the German theologian, said. He says, when God becomes like us in Jesus, it's as though the Father in heaven gets on his hands and knees to play with his children. Do you realize that? You realize that God wants to play with you? Wants to be with you? You see, that's the good news of the gospel. It's not just about fire insurance. And it's not just about health insurance. It's about living. I mean, really living. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. I mean, probably too long. But the one thing I am clear on more than anything else is that when you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you never have to settle for survival. Survival. And you know, most of us live life to survive and getting by. Let's keep it all the chairs in order and hope for the best. But what God says to us through Jesus Christ is, I called you to life and life in all its fullness. In other words, I want you to live. I don't want you to just survive and get by. I want you to have all the joy that can be. But you've got to have me first so that everything else will fall in line. I think it was Jesus, yeah, the Son of God. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all the rest will be added unto you. He doesn't say seek first all the rest and then go after the kingdom. Like, no, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the rest will come unto you. It's getting your priorities right. Now, that's one heck of a hard job sometimes. I can have stuff slide in front of me faster than a speeding bullet. But when I finally get to the place where I say, you know, God, you are number one in my life, things start to fall into place like I could never imagine. The grace of God has appeared. Do you believe it? Because if you do believe it, then the incarnation has already started within you. Because after all, what does Jesus say? The kingdom of God is within you. It's not out there. It's right in here. And when it's in here, all of a sudden, you begin to know it because all of a sudden, you can see light in the darkness. You can know and trust in ways that, quite frankly, are difficult to know and trust in. And when you get to that place, all of a sudden, you begin to influence everybody that's around you. There again, that one we celebrate this evening said you're the salt of the world. He didn't say you're the meat and potatoes. He said you're the salt. Because you flavor everyone around you. You enhance their life by you having life. You know, some people look for joy from everybody else. And then, okay, well, if they have joy, then I guess I can have joy. But you know what? It's your job to have joy and give it away. It's been a long 40 years. I wonder what God's got next for me. I wonder what God's got next for you. It's been an adventure. Not a struggle, but an adventure whereby God with you, God with me, lifts you up. It all begins in the incarnation when you finally say, I'm going to stop running and I'm going to let you in. And sometimes you have to meet Jesus more than once to meet him for the first time. Sometimes you just have to stop again and again. And I've had to do it over those 40 years where I've lost my way, but all of a sudden I said, I got to come back to my way. Think of all those rescues.
rest areas. They must have had to stop. I can't get over that. I wouldn't have wanted, I mean, if it was my wife, she would have had said, don't go to that rest area, go to McDonald's, it's a little cleaner. And yet somehow God, in his providence, God in his love, God in his faith for you, said, I've got to become like them so they can know that they can become like me. And that I'll never, ever, ever give up on. So let's celebrate Christmas. As you come to the Eucharist this evening, I pray that you come again for the first time. Again, coming forth and knowing that God goes into you in some mysterious way. I can't explain it. But mysteriously, he comes into you and he goes home with you. And he'll never leave you. Because that's the kind of God that we got. He comes in the form of the Holy Spirit that belongs to you as you belong to him. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.
Amen.